The Guardian.
The Guardian has partnered with audible.co.uk to offer listeners a free audiobook when you sign up for a one-month, no-commitment trial of the Audible service. Audible has over 50,000 audiobook titles available to download. Go to guardian.co.uk/audible for further details.
Hello, I'm Alexis Petridis. This is Music Weekly. This week, following the news that he's to leave his Radio 1 slot, Giles Peterson tells us all about his Cuban adventure. We'll be talking about tracks by Sharon Van Etten, Drake and Porcelain Raft, and another of our guides as Alex McPherson tells you all you need to know about R&B. That's all in this week's Music Weekly from The Guardian. Hello, please welcome to the studio, Ben Beaumont Thomas. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks.
Excellent. What have you been up to, Ben? Anything exciting?
Went to see an amazing, one of the shows of the year last night. I saw King Midas Sound at the Boiler Room DJ Shadow played as well, but was okay. But then King Midas Sound sort of came in and just, it was like My Bloody Valentine does dub. And it was
Wow. Absolutely
spectacular. Incredibly, one of the noisiest gigs I've ever been to. Kind of in pain today.
Really?
But fully worth it. Absolutely incredible. And they're playing again in January or February at the Bishopsgate Institute in London, which is going to be spectacular again, I imagine.
Wow, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. Super. Do you know who I went to see this week?
Who's that?
Adamant.
Amazing.
How was that?
Amazing. High camp? Or?
No. Sort of dark, menacing, punk rock.
Wow.
Absolutely majestic. I've been waiting 31 years to see Adamant live since I was about 9 years old. He was brilliant. Go and see Adamant. Go and see King Midas Sound. And then, for contrast, go and see Adamant. Wide spectrum music catered for here on the podcast. Hello to our other guest, Ruth Barnes.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yes, I'm very well. I'm going to see Wild Flag tonight. I thought I might as well bring a gig to the table, seeing as we're all doing that, which I'm very excited about.
I don't know anything about those guys. I keep seeing them in the best of lists.
Yes, I know. People are very excited because it's obviously Carrie Brownstein back together with some old members from Sleater-Kinney and from Helium. It's a bit of a kind of super group. And the album is great.
Cool.
So people have not been let down. It's
excellent.
Good.
I always liked a bit of Sleater-Kinney.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it sound like Sleater-Kinney?
Yeah, but you know, kind of 10 years on sort of thing.
Right.
which is good, I think.
Excellent. Ben, you went out and you interviewed Giles Peterson.
Yes.
This week. Unfortunately, before he he got the elbow from Radio 1.
I wasn't aware. Yeah, he was so happy, and then if it was 2 days later, he might have been crying into his Cuban funk.
Into his what did you say?
His Cuban funk? That wasn't a euphemism though, Alexis. Put that dirty mind away.
It was Mojito. How was he? How did you find him?
He was wonderful, yeah. Very, very friendly, very excited for a number of different projects, yeah.
And the sort of purpose of the interview was...
Yes, it's a new record called... it's a second in a series called Havana Cultura. The first one came out in 2009, and basically... Charles went over to Cuba, recorded one CD with a set of Cuban musicians sort of on the hoof there, and then also collated on a second CD a bunch of new Cuban talent, lots of sort of old school hip hop, but with this rather sexy rumba thing going through it. But then also some quite odd sounds, sort of European minimal house kind of
really?
Bits as well. Very kind of interesting set of influences being poured into the... to the mixing, so yeah.
Well, look, let's that sounds amazing. Let's hear some of these Cuban tracks and have him tell us about it.
So when people kind of think of Cuban music, I think they tend to think Buena Vista Social Club and that sort of rich and classy sound. But, I mean, listening to this new record that you're putting out, it seems like it's so much richer and more varied than that. I mean, were you surprised at the richness of what was going on over there?
The first time I went over there was 2 years ago, and I had a very short time to do a compilation album of all these bits and bobs that I managed to hear on my first trip over there, some reggaeton bits, a little bit of hip-hop, some sort of rumba and some jazz. And it was pretty good stuff, but I thought that there was a lot more talent that I was meeting that I hadn't actually made music, or the music was such bad quality that it needed to be recorded. So I actually went over there and recorded an album of new music, which we did in 3 days at Egram Studios, which is where Buena Vista Social Club was recorded, which is the sort of legendary sort of electric ladyland of Cuba, yeah. if you want to call it that. And, you know, all church-like, beautiful room, but rubbish mixing desk, but amazing microphones and, yeah. you know, acoustics. Anyway, we did an album there, and I kind of did it more on a sort of jazz tip because I knew that I only had a limited amount of time. So we did that album and it was great, and we did, had good success, particularly in Europe and Japan. And then I got asked again to go back to do the second volume. And I wasn't quite sure whether I could kind of find the material second time around, because I thought I'd probably unearthed a lot of it on the first trip.
I mean, what's the nightlife like in Havana? What's the sort of party scene?
Well, it's different. I mean, Havana is different to anywhere else in the world. You still can't get internet in apart from the odd hotel if you're lucky. So it really sort of survives on its own sort of quite old school kind of way, you know, people passing tapes around and CDs and just word of mouth rather than word of the net. And it's just very refreshing, actually. So anyway, clubbing over there has grown just in the 3 or 4 years that I've been over there. First time it was very small, not much sound, and the last time I was there, there is an electronic music scene. There was a little festival I went to. There was a couple of thousand people. There was local DJs playing a bit Ricardo Villalobos meets kind of Luciano with a little bit of percussion thrown in and a bit of break, old school. You might even hear a little bit of Fatboy Slim in the mix somewhere. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of breakbeat Adam Friedland. Somehow it's all sort of mangled together, and there is a little scene, and it's quite fascinating to go there and to check it all out. Funnily enough, last time I was there, because when we made this latest album, I went over there with Mala, the from Deep Medi and DMZ, and we took two studios up, and I had Studio A, he had B, and then the musicians would come through my studio, we'd record what is now CD1 on the brand new album, and then they'd go through into his studio in his little sort of, you know, in his laboratory. And he did his version, which is going to be coming out in March, which is sounding incredible. And while we were out there, we did the first ever, you know, official dubstep party in Havana with Mello, which was amazing, yeah.
What did everyone make of that sound? Because if they haven't got the net, it might be difficult for them to even have access to that sound.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Especially the way Mello plays dubstep, it is quite reggae and very sound system style. So even though they'd not had that before, they immediately related to it and it went off. It went off like any dubstep party I've been to. It just took them a little while to get going, you know, a little bit of extra run. But no, it was brilliant.
And obviously Cuba has always had a real close, well, ongoing dialogue with Africa, with sort of slave trade, meaning that people came over, installed in Cuba, and then obviously returning and taking kind of indigenous Cuban music back to Africa, and you having like calypso in Ghana and strange sort of hybrids like that. Is that dialogue still happening now, or...?
I think so. I mean, in a way, one of the tracks on our first album, we did a version of Ruffa Ruffa Fight by Fela Kuti, because I really wanted to sort of see how that... I mean, it was quite literal in a way, you know, Afro-Cuban music. But I think the area that you really notice this African-Cuban connection is Santeria and everything to do with rumba and the spiritual side of the music. And that, to me, is actually the music which is the most fascinating and the deepest form of my search when I go to Cuba. It's the biggest experience I have in terms of just watching, listening and feeling music.
So, because Santeria is a sort of religious kind of... Is it a religion of it in and of itself, or...?
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's basically again. It's just a means of communicating and fusing. It's a sort of prayer meeting in a way, you know. And it's something you walk down the streets anywhere in Havana, and you'll just hear the drumming, and then the people chanting, and the rumba singers, and it's just this trance. If you're going to Cuba and you want to catch it, get away from the tourist places. The one problem about Cuba in a way is that everything is aimed towards a certain type of traveller, and so if you really want to go and check out the real Santeria sessions and the real rumba sessions, you kind of need to have someone who can take you and guide you to those places, because you won't get those in your regular, you know, trips. You know, a lot of the cafes aimed at the tourists will play you that kind of song from Buena Vista Social Club. So you've got to go and find, you know, the other stuff. I mean, that it takes a little bit more time and balls, I suppose.
Is Havana really the absolute centre of the musical universe for Cuba? I mean, is there a lot of stuff going on more rurally that that you perhaps got to experience, or is there a different musical culture elsewhere?
Well, no, the one thing I've noticed, actually, is that there's tons outside. Havana's just a small dot, really. I mean, Santiago is the place that I really want to go to. It's actually just the other side of the water to Jamaica, and it's a much more African place. And in fact, on this album, there's a bit of music on the second CD from some artists from Santiago, also from Guantanamo, which is another area. And actually, the idea for the next album, if we can do a third, is to do a sort of field recordings and to go with a van from Havana just through all these different sort of parts of Cuba, just to capture the local sounds, because it varies as you go through the country, and just to do our kind of road trip album with a studio in the van, and just record as we go along. I think we'll capture a lot of great music that way.
And do you think that the market kind of effect in this country affects the kind of world music, in inverted commas, that gets released, that more serious coffee table dinner party type thing?
Maybe, but I think it's changing. I think that there's been some great labels recently and great works, you know, whether it's sort of, you know, the whole tropical movement, you know, the Quantics and the Analog Africas and the Sofrito parties and what Damon Albarn's doing and Subliminal Frequencies and things like, you know,
Soundway.
I mean, there's a lot going on, and people are much more open to it. There's great parties going on right now, and I think that the whole sort of seriousness of the old school world music approach, you know, it still exists, and WOMAD's brilliant. I love going to WOMAD, and that's sort of grown in its own way. But I think that there's a new generation of post-club culture, generation of producers, DJs, compilers, diggers, who are basically just building up this movement, which is growing and is giving world music a hipper feeling in a way.
Giles Peterson there with Ben Beaumont Thomas. And Giles Peterson presents Havana Cultura. The Search Continues is out now on Brownswood Recordings. Okay, Singles Club, reviews time. Our team around the table have each brought a track, and we're going to hear all three, starting off with Ruth's Choice.
Ooh.
Sharon Van Etten and Serpents, a pick of Laura Barton in her Americana guide on the pod last week. Tell us, for the benefit of those amongst our listenership who weren't glued and taking notes from Laura Barton's Americana guide, tell us about Sharon Van Etten, tell us about Serpents.
So Sharon Van Etten is a New Jersey singer-songwriter.
She doesn't sound like she's from New Jersey.
She doesn't sound like she's from New Jersey, but she's now based in Brooklyn. And
Serpents!
Serpents, in my mind.
Is she the Snooki of the sort of new country?
Yes, I shall put that to her next time I see her. So, yeah, she's been around for a little while. I mean, she had an album out on a little Brooklyn indie called Bada Bing Records, which I think is one of the best record label names I've ever come across.
Great.
As you could only say it as Bada Bing, of course.
My record, Soypons, yeah, on Bada
come
Bing.
On. So that was Epic, which came out last year, which was one of my albums of the year.
Okay.
And it caused a little ripple of excitement. She toured with The National, and now this record has been produced by Aaron Dessner from The National. It's being put out by Jag Jaguar in February next year, so you can you know, the kind of cogs are turning, things are very much progressing yeah. for her. It's great to see her on Jag Jaguar. I think it's a really lovely home for her. And, you know, the great and the good of kind of Brooklyn cool peeps have just like dropped in on this record label. I mean, Aaron Dessner's got his studio in Brooklyn, and I imagine it's the kind of place where, you know, Jen Wozner from Y-Oak just swings by and like drops wow. some tunes, you know, on yeah. whoever's record he's working on, which happened in this case. The drummer from The Walkman plays on a couple of tunes. Juliana Barwick as well is on it. So you can imagine it being this kind of hub of incredibly trendy people. And Sharon Van Etten is now part of that hub. She's
it's
made
not
a record.
An incredibly trendy sounding record, though, is it?
It's not an incredibly trendy sounding record.
There's that other side of Jag Jaguar and Strictly Canadian. There's some of the stuff they put out, I find, is like, you know, you can totally see the audience for this. It's, you know, it's kind of 80s themed, whatever.
Uber hip.
Uber hip kind of stuff, or stuff like Moonface or whatever we've had on the pod. And there's this other side to it of actually quite sort of trad American rock, which I think this fits in with,
very
which is
much
not,
so.
Very, not very good. But
no,
it's,
I mean, the thing I find about Sharon Van Etten is, apart from the fact that I think she's got one of the most glorious voices that I've heard in the last couple of years, is that she really has a sound that's a kind of a Sharon Van Etten sound, and that really comes through on Epic and on Tramp. And I've, you know, I've listened to the whole album, and it really is just stunning. She's got a lovely way with words. She's got some lyrics that just roll around in my head, although Serpents in My Mind became Curtains in My Mind today on the tube.
Quaitons
I realised
that
is what I'd been singing for hours. But there you go. So, I'm so excited about her, and I really think we're going to see great things from her. And it's kind of, you know, I've written here, and it's just so cheesy. When I read back, I just thought, oh dear, this is why I don't write. This is why I make radio. Melancholy, uplifting, soaring, lush. You know, it's all those kind of juxtaposition, all the adjectives. Exactly. And a big juxtaposition in sound, I think. One minute you're like, that's so depressing. Oh, but God, I feel great after listening to that song. So there's a lot of emotions that go on there, I think.
Ben yeah. BT, do you dig this?
I really, really loved it. Yeah, I thought it was great. It's quite a short song. It's less than 3 minutes, but it has quite an unusual structure, which I really loved. It's sort of this gentle arc of a verse upwards, and then it's just kind of this plateau of a almost constant chorus, really, that just kind of ebbs and flows. Really unusual, and absolutely blew me away. That I thought okay. it was very,
I liked
very
it as well. It struck me as the kind of thing that actually, if you got the right exposure, could sell a lot of records. Not that that's the important thing, of course.
But you're right. Someone
but it's
really
the kind of thing
over.
Of like the
someone
guy who lives down my street that buys two albums a year that comes up to you and goes, "Have you heard about this band, Fleet Foxes?" You know,
would actually really like this. Taylor Swift fans or something like that. Even I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my uncle who lives in Swansea, who's a hard and fast Coldplay fan, I played him Serpents, and he wants the album. It's exactly that. It's exactly what you
Amazing.
Said. So,
It's a free download.
It is a free download. It's knocking around. I think Pitchfork got hold of it first, and now everyone else has got it. It's on all the blogs, so you can find it out there. But the album comes out in February. And she's also just a really lovely artist as well. She's definitely not full of BS. She's worked in the music industry before. Mm-hmm. She actually worked for Bada Bing Records, so she's kind of seen both sides, which is quite nice.
Okay, oh, well, that's good. A nice record by a nice person.
Yeah.
how delightful. As we said, that's a free download. It's available on the interwebs. As we speak. Okay, next track. It's my choice. Did you tell your friends how much you miss them all? How great is sleep in a brand new world? And it's hard tonight for me to talk. That's Porcelain Raft and Put Me to Sleep, also a track that's knocking around on the internet at the moment. I have been following the career of Porcelain Raft for a little while. It's a one-man band, an Italian guy, although I think he's based in Brooklyn as well. Certainly he's signed to Secretly Canadian, who are basically sponsoring this week's podcast. And he put out a limited edition 7-inch single a couple of years ago, 18 months ago probably, that I bought in Fonica, of all places, the Downs record shop, that was called Tip of Your Tongue. And I just really liked it. It was the kind of record that, I mean, on one level it was nothing new, and you could sort of imagine as it faded out, John Peel going, and that's number 18 in this week's Festive 50. But there was something incredibly charming about it. It's a really good, really well-written song. Delightful to hear someone singing in an accent that isn't, you know, a sort of English or a British or American accent. I mean, he's very identifiably Italian when he sings. And the album is really interesting. The album, he's been signed, as I said, by Strictly Canadian, Secretly Canadian, sorry. And the album is just sort of a really intriguing record, sort of mysterious set of songs, I suppose. If you had to, you might call it chill wave, but I don't really think that's it. Seems a lot more icy and less sun-kissed than that kind of music. The album is out on January the 23rd. That's it. Ben?
Yeah, I, on a personal, purely taste level, I thought his voice was a little reedy for me, but I think on a deeper level, I also heard the record, and I just don't think he's melodically that gifted. Atmospherics, very on the money, I think, and there is this sort of New Ordery type dynamic with the sort of quite percussive bass and that sort of thing, which I latched onto. But I think that there's a tendency with this new crop of quite blog-friendly, pitchfork-friendly bands that just come out a great deal, and I keep getting sent similar records of this ilk. And it makes you realise how someone like Animal Collective, who can do atmosphere very well, actually have a very lucid grasp of melody and can allow that to punch through, whereas lots of these bands that are quite hazy and atmospheric don't, for me, have that kind of killer melodic hook.
But, interesting.
But yeah, that's maybe just a bit personal.
No. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Ruth, what about you?
Yes, I really like it. I think I agree with Ben that I feel like there's a lot of this around at the moment, which is why I was interested when I didn't read up a hell of a lot about him, but he's been around for a couple of years. I feel like there's a glut of this stuff around. I was going to say exactly that, blog friendly, you know, download your MP3 version of this here. Mm. It's all a bit kind of bad quality, and sort of you're getting a low res MP3 of it at the end of it, and nothing sound. So when you said his voice sounded a bit reedy, I felt sort of slightly the same as that. I think I first came across Paul Sloan Raft at the same time I came across Keep Shelley in Athens, which is another one of these bands.
Exactly one of those bands who I can't stand for exactly the same reason. Yeah. Yeah. Like Collar Raven and all of those.
There's a lot of them kind of doing the rounds and people getting really excited about them and writing deep and meaningful blog kind of posts about them. But that's not to say I'm completely anti it. It's just not tweaking my tweakers, as they say. whatever that means.
Who says that?
I don't know.
People blogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Blog lingo. Yeah.
Well, if Porcelain Rafter tweaked your tweakers, you can find that track online. Put Me to Sleep. The album is out, as I said, on the 23rd of January. Our last track is Ben's choice.
I've asked about you and they told me things, but my mind didn't change and I still feel the same. What I've asked about you and they told me things, but my mind didn't change and I still feel the same. What's a life with no fun? Please don't be so ashamed.
That's Drake, Take Care, or a version of Drake. We take that. Just tell us about this particular version.
Yeah, it's been chopped and screwed, which is a kind of process beloved of the Deep South, mm-hmm. in sort of Houston area, which was sort of chopping is the looping and sort of scratching and re-editing that you heard, and then screwing or throwing, as it's sometimes known, is the slowing down of the vocal. And I really love this method because it draws out all these sorts of hidden, in a very simplistic way, draws out very hidden personalities in the record. And so you have Rihanna sounding like this rather deeply baritone male voice. And I mean, it's been done in the past as well, like Little Kim in her sort of high filth phase would be slowed down, and then she'd just sound like this really queeny guy, just like talking about all the things that he's going to do to you. And it's really, really, it creates this whole other dynamic that's absolutely fascinating. But then Drake, also being slowed down, you know, he's not obviously the most technically gifted rapper. And
no.
So it depends how much you enjoy him. You might find this very leaden because it's slowing down. He's already quite slow and leaden flow. But I like it. And I think that Drake has an interesting, different voice that is an alternative to the sort of verbal brilliance of many other rappers.
if you're tired of verbal brilliance.
Exactly. It's you know, you have to... Drake's someone you really have to kind of give the benefit of the doubt. You can either see him as being kind of cartoonishly amoral and have this really weird persona that's really tortured, or you can just see him as flatly untalented and misogynistic, you know. and it depends the level at which you want to pitch that. But I think that this slowing down of it draws out some of the more interesting style of his flow that sort of scans in a strange manner.
The problem I had with it was that Drake's music is quite sort of emotionally downcast.
Yes.
To start off with. And one of the things I like about tracks when they're chopped and screwed is it tends to draw out sort of otherwise hitherto hidden melancholy inferences in the music. That's the sort of, on a quite a basic level, what it does. And there was a part of me, it's like, oh no, don't make him sound even more mopey than he is. God,
yeah,
almighty.
I totally,
you know,
get that. Yeah.
There was this sort of element of like, I love that kind of thing when you... We did that on the show, actually. I mean, it's not chopping and screwing at all, but somebody had slowed Friday by Rebecca Black down until it sounded like a track off of This Mortal Coil album. And, you know, but it draws out the melancholy, whatever.
Yeah.
And there was part of me thinking, God, no, Drake is an artist that he just doesn't need any more melancholy drawn out of him.
I think it's when you hear it first, it does, like you say, it seems really unnecessary. And I think certain chopped and screwed tracks you have to listen to quite a lot of times before your brain recalibrates it as something really luscious and slow. I think one of my favourite tracks that technique's been applied to is In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, which DJ Screw, who's the originator of this, did. And I can't listen really to the original now because it seems so wrong after I listened to this extremely syrupy version.
What extra vibe does DJ Screw's screwing of In the Air Tonight draw out?
Just this really, just incredible. It's kind of similar to this. It doesn't
it's very
give
sinister.
It. It's already sinister, yeah. And it just makes it very, very, sort of walking through molasses, but
it's the version they should have put in American Psycho, basically. That would have, instead of the original version. Yeah.
Or I always thought they should have put it at the end of Michael Mann's Miami Vice. That sounded really good.
Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Drake. I think I'm coming from the I don't think he's very talented and he's a massive misogynist vein. Mm. But that I really like this, though. I blocked that out. I thought, come on, be objective. I really liked what these guys did, and I looked them. I didn't know OG Ron C and DJ Candlestick.
no,
you didn't know, OG Ron C and DJ Candlestick?
Where have I
Where
been?
Have you? Come on.
That's he's been called.
Oh, so. I'm out. I'm
That's
gone.
The last time you come on this. this program, I can tell you.
So, I mean, you know, they call it chopped up, not slopped up, which I thought was quite sweet on their website. And anyway, so I spent ages kind of mooching around their mixtape website and stuff and heard all kinds of interesting stuff. So really, really enjoyed this. Yeah, it just took Drake to another level, which I think he needs because he's not at that level for me normally.
Well, there you go. That is clearly out and about on the internet.
Indeed it is, yeah.
So as everything we've had this week, so if you so desire, sort of type it into Google or something. What were the names of the people who remixed it?
The record, the easiest way to find it, it's called Chop Care, rather than Take Care.
OG Ron C and DJ Candlestick.
Oh, yeah.
OG Ron C.
It rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? DJ Candlestick. Which sounds like something out of, I don't know, a Disney film.
DJ Candlestick.
Yeah, he actually
With
is
MC Cogsworth. Yeah. Going in there as well.
Some comments from last week's programme blog. Lots of comment on Spiritualized and Jason Pierce's brilliance, or otherwise, and how amazing, or otherwise, their recent Royal Albert Hall gig was. However, on the reviews, Martin Young chipped in with his thoughts on Woman's Hour, which I picked last week. He said, I think they're a band that could have some hidden depths. I also recommend listening to the B-side Human, which is arguably better. J.L. Ward said, I saw Woman's Hour a few weeks ago in Kingston, presumably Kingston, not Kingston, Jamaica, Kingston Pond Thames, and left rather impressed, like a much more melodic version of the XX. And Tom91 said this about another of last week's choices, thanks for pointing me towards Mozart Parties, very much enjoying their Poundland wall of sound. You can leave a comment on the blog about this week's programme, the site is guardian.co.uk/musicweekly, and there's details about how to tweet us there too.
Hi, I'm Alex McPherson. I'm a Guardian music writer, and I'm going to pick five R&B songs. R&B has always been a part of my life. It was the first genre I ever got into. Everyone always thinks R&B artists are megastars like Beyoncé's and Rihanna's, but there's a lot going on beneath the surface. My first choice is Nakia. I've had a really tough time deciding which track off her mixtape I was going to pick because they're all so good and it's such a varied mixtape. I've chosen Titanic.
Don't panic, 'cause I'm Titanic. Open your eyes and watch this ship here float over. You can't stand it to be gigantic. I'm like a monster in this place. Don't panic, 'cause I'm Titanic. Open your eyes and watch this ship here float over.
I love that colossal jagged beat, and she kind of strides it like she's some sort of Bond villainess. She's probably one of the most original, inventive new voices I've heard in R&B this year. She's got that sort of bohemian, theatrical vibe, a bit like Janelle Monáe, but not so try-hard. And I love her voice, which is kind of like this kittenish purr, but it can also go up to this gigantic growl. It kind of reminds me of Eartha Kitt and Tweet as well. And anyway, her mixtape is called Speaker, and I really recommend downloading the whole thing. It's for free. Next song is Good Man by Rafal Sadiq, which has just received a Grammy nomination for the Best Traditional R&B Performance.
You watch them handcuff me, lady.
That subcategory traditional R&B performance is probably important here. It distinguishes it from the more modern, sort of digital, computerized stuff, and it doesn't make sense to judge them alongside each other. Sadiq's work has often been very retro-orientated, and sometimes I felt that's to its detriment because it's sort of like it's stuck in amber. But on his Stone Rolling album, which this is from, I feel he really brings the songs to life. It's really passionate performances. Last two choices are Dawn Richard with Bulletproof and Kalina with Go to Work. The Kalina track is this ultra ratchet, buck wild, all cursing club joint which pushes all my buttons. It's the kind of track that comes on the club and everyone just goes absolutely crazy to it. And it's totally explicit, and she's got amazing lines like shaking your boots like a Snoop from The Wire. Kalina and Dawn first came to fame with Diddy Dirty Money, which was the trio that P. Diddy went under for his last album, Last Train to Paris. Most people assumed that would just be a Diddy vanity project and the girls were just eye candy, but on the album they actually were integral to its sound and to its songwriting.
A fire burned on my lips and it caused a scar. We'll never part, you left your mark. Don't hit me, 'cause I'm afraid.
Dawn Richard is gearing up for her first proper solo album next year, but her A Telltale Heart mixtape this year was one of my favourite full lengths. The mixtape starts with a fantastic club joint called Superman, but it ends with Bulletproof, on which she almost makes herself superhuman with the strength of feeling. There's real epic scope to this track. It's like she's coating herself in Teflon armour with a military tattoo and synths grinding like tectonic plates. And how about this for an ending?
Alex McPherson, some R&B recommendations there. And that just about wraps it up for the programme today. My thanks to Ruth and to Ben for coming in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
See you again. We'll be back next week. Till then, thanks for listening. I'm Alexis Petridis and the programme was produced by Scott Corley.
The Guardian has partnered with audible.co.uk to offer listeners a free audiobook when you sign up for a one-month, no-commitment trial of the Audible service. Audible has over 50,000 audiobook titles available to download. Go to guardian.co.uk/audible for further details.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.